Daisy's pressed play. At this point, Judith and I are imagining that we can hear the theme tune to the podcast Older and Wider. The fact is we can't because we're doing it virtually, but let's pretend, Judith. Tune in, virtually.
I'm ready. Okay. Yay.
Yeah. Let's hope Daisy can make something of that in the edit. Right.
I tell you what we sound like. We sound like we're trying to catch a ball and missing it every time.
Well, you know, never a truer word. I don't think I've ever caught a ball in my life.
Absolutely.
I've only ever caught things accidentally. I think I was the kind of girl that was sort of taken away from ball catching and put into the beanbag catching class because it was easier.
Isn't that funny? As you were just saying that sentence, I had imagined the beanbag throwing in gym lessons. You're right.
And just not enough beanbag throwing in our lives anymore. There were the other girls who were sort of vaulting the horse and swanning up the ropes and all that.
Absolutely.
And then in the remedial corner, Judith, people like you and I.
And as we've got older, we've got worse, haven't we?
Worse, yeah, absolutely worse. I've got no hand-to-eye coordination whatsoever, I'm very proud to say. Right, we're going to start with some good news. We're going to start positively this week, and we'll just go downhill after that.
Okay. Good.
So, good news. Good news from Camberwell is that, the roses are thriving, Judith.
What, the ones that you zapped with the weed killer by mistake?
Yeah, I think I might give them another dose of weed killer. They have never looked better. Honestly.
Well, then, predicted by me last week, I told you,
do you remember when we shut our eyes for a bit and we asked our listeners to send good vibrations? I think we might have done some sort of witch magic.
Oh, well, you know. That's
so we'll try, we might think of something else. Yes, it's the ducking stool next.
Well, that's very, very, very good news indeed. I'm so delighted because you are rather partial to roses.
I'm partial to my rose. I'm partial to any flowers, Judith. And the other bit of good news is that I actually have, and I don't think it's a rose named after me because nobody ever told me or said, hey, you know, nice thing is happening. You might want to celebrate. But a listener of ours emailed in to olderwiderpodcast@gmail.com and sent a photo of a rose, a rich blood red rose that's actually called an eclair.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
Were you a bit jealous, Judith? Were you jealous? Were you a bit jealous?
There's no called Holder, is there? Not liable to be.
I bet there's a Judith, but it's not yours.
Yes,
it's Judy Dench.
Yeah, with an I. Yeah, all right. Don't rub it in.
Let's have a little catch up on the week that is. I went for a lovely walk, Judith.
Did you?
A lovely walk in Kensington Gardens. I sort of timed it right. I looked at the weather forecast.
Oh.
And there was a window of opportunity in London from about 11 o'clock till 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we set off to Kensington Gardens and it was really very pleasant indeed.
Is that the furthest that you've been for absolutely ages? Because I'm visualising one or two trips that we've had. And I would imagine, am I right in thinking that that was like the furthest you've been for months?
Furthest I've been for months. Over the river and through town and, through Chelsea and then beyond. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like going abroad, really.
Did you do a lot of window shopping?
And that was sort of great and awful at the same time because I think it's those trips through town that take me through, you know, very famous shopping streets like the King's Road that kind of destroy me slightly because everything's shut and I think quite a lot of few shops will never reopen.
Oh, I'm sure.
And there's a lot of boarding up and it's just a little bit tragic. But Kensington Gardens was very, very pleasant. But there was... where do you stand on this, Judith? Where do you stand? There was an adult woman, well-dressed, I mean, you know, sort of like a normal woman, feeding the pigeons and squirrels. And there were picture signs everywhere saying, please do not feed the birds or the animals.
Dear. Dear. Well, you see, I would challenge the word normal. I would challenge you. See, you've used the word normal there, and you know, which to me, like, she might have been dressed normal, but if she's doing that next to the sign saying that, it's a little bit dysfunctional. And I wouldn't mind betting that she does that every fucking day.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think?
Do you know what? You see, you've got it in one.
Yeah.
And I did dirty looks, and then I sort of... I walked past her again. I did a loop back on myself and I just said, I think the signs say don't do that.
Oh, you intervened. She just
absolutely ignored me. So I had to contend myself with wagging my finger at some small children who were also doing the same thing.
Well, because she was setting a very bad role model.
Yeah.
Obviously, then, wasn't she?
Yeah. Get this, Judith. After we'd done a big sort of hour-long walk, I'm lying, obviously, it was about 20 minutes, we came back on ourselves. She was still there doing the same thing. And as we walked towards her, there was a great swoop of pigeons that kind of just in one great mass flew at her for food. And it was just, you could feel the dirt. Do you know what I mean?
Good. Is all I can say. Good. I mean, well, you know, maybe, but surely that's, wouldn't that put her off? I mean,
they were swooping over us. We were the ones feeling the dirt. As they got to her, they settled around her feet and started pecking at all the crumbs and everything. But then it just ends in a tunnel of shit, doesn't it? It
was just this
one path, beautifully planted on either side, and it's just going to be covered in shit.
No, I'm getting the full picture now. I'm getting the full picture of actually why this is so irritating.
Yeah.
I can't see the point in pigeons. They are filthy, stupid, bloody creatures, aren't they?
They really are.
Yeah. They are.
Anyway, to finish the story off, and I want to ask you a question because it's weirdly something else that, although we have known each other for a long time, I've never asked you, I don't think.
I'm coming a bit back scared now.
Don't be frightened. Going back from the Kensington Gardens, down King's Road, very depressing, but the flower stores were back open.
Were they?
Yeah, and it was these kind of explosions of optimism and colour in just a sea of closed shops, really. And there's always a very beautiful one outside the Conran shop by the Bibendum restaurant entrance. And I stopped there and I bought three dark red peonies, Judith. Dark blood red.
Were they closed? They're still closed.
They were closed. Big, fat, budded peonies. I could only afford three because it was Chelsea. And I love a peony, and that's what was in my wedding bouquet. I had the pink ones. And I just thought, what was in Judith's wedding bouquet?
Oh, what a lovely thing to ask me. Well, which wedding? Which wedding?
Let's go both.
The first one. Interestingly, yeah. I mean, I'm a big fan of peonies as well. And there's a border which I cycle past at the moment, and they've obviously planted them out. I mean, for everybody else to see, because they're like on the front, or they're kind of on the road.
Yeah.
And it's like a show. It's you know, they're all different shades of pink going down to deep red, and loads and loads of. Oh, it's fantastic! I should take a photo, really. And I do love a peony. However, so okay, first wedding. It was April. And I think my mother got it into... She was a bit fussy with my first wedding, if I'm honest. Looking back now, when I look at the pictures...
Anyone that's listened to back edit, back numbers of Older and Wider might remember, you know, your involvement in your eldest daughter's wedding.
Oh, God!
And are thinking at this moment, pot calling kettle black here. Anyway, on. So, first wedding, April.
I think she took it into her head that my favourite flower was daisies. And actually now when I look at a daisy, I think, you know, like big ones, they're all out at the moment. They're a bit ragged, aren't they?
Well, they're lovely. They're fun, but
funish. They're a bit sort of, you know, they're not subtle. There's no subtlety about them, is there really? Yeah. So I had daisies and I think I might have had freesias, which I do love. And, you know, some of it, I'm not very good with flowers, actually, but a lot of spring flowers, but a lot of daisies. And when I look back at, I've only got one or two photos left from that wedding, actually, because I threw them away in a fit of temper. Yeah. It wasn't really, you know, I think at the time it didn't really feel like me. And then the second one was in October, to Mike, obviously.
Yeah.
And I think I had some, you know, those kind of dark... you know, almost bluey green foliage, and I think I had some dark roses, and I think I had some cream roses. Well, quite obviously, can't red and white, but so there were a lot of roses.
I can't imagine what you looked like on your wedding day.
I think you should put up a second one.
We don't. Forget.
All right then. Yeah. Okay.
Put up a photograph.
Okay.
Yeah. Thinner. That'd be nice.
Thinner.
less wide is what I look like.
Well, this is the
anyway,
great
come
thing
on,
about...
tell me about yours. Now, yours is quite, well, it's very recent. It's only a couple of years ago. So what did
I think
you
it's
choose?
About, I think it's, well, I say, well, I just had a bunch of peonies. Because it was a very low key little thing. The great thing, may I just say though, for anybody thinking about weddings, it's much better getting married in your late 50s when you're already the size of a house, because there's no looking back at your wedding day going, oh, look at me, I was so tiny and petite and all that. No, I was a good size 14. Then it was 3 years ago. I'm probably 16 now, Judith, because, you know, I have put on some timber and I didn't realise how dramatically or how much until I ordered a new bra. And I put it on and I had to fight to get it on because, you know, I buy bras that don't have fastenings. They're elasticated ones. And they're, if anybody wants to look them up, they're Sloggy Romance 36A from Amazon. They're about 16 quid.
See, I'm very impressed. Mine's got, you know, great bloody pulleys and, you know, wrenches and all sorts. So that's...
Well, I might be heading in that direction.
Bras. Well, yeah. Join the club. Anyway, you're still on the stretchy stuff. Go on.
It was like getting into a cat's cradle. You know, when children... But it really tight cat's cradle. I put it on. I thought, well, this is quite uncomfortable. I lasted all day. I couldn't really breathe in it. So it kept blacking out. And then at the end of the day, when it's bath time, I kind of struggled out and it had left a dark red welt around my back and under my arms and underneath my bosoms. It took about 2 hours to go.
Two sizes too small, isn't it? Sizes too small.
But there's nothing in the cup. I mean, I think I need a 38A. Do they do
you
something
mean,
like
yes,
that?
Yes, so you're kind of bigger around the your, yes, girth, to use that wonderful word. Your girth has got bigger, but your tits haven't. Yeah. Well, welcome
something
to our
like
world.
That.
Taking you ages to get there, isn't it? Bloody hell.
And then, the other thing that I don't know whether you're suffering from at the moment, I'm getting what I call the knicker roll. Do you know what I mean?
God. Expand a bit. I know what you mean. Go on.
Okay, I'm getting the knicker roll. And what I mean is I've got about 15 pairs of pants.
Yeah.
And 10 don't really fit anymore. And I keep having to change my pants halfway through the day because I can't bear the discomfort. And I know when I've got the smaller style of pant on because I'll move and I can suddenly feel the knickers rolling down. Yeah.
You are so right. And do you know what? That phenomenon is one that I have never actually identified or hear. I've never heard anybody actually describe it as that, but you are absolutely right. And I can visualize it happening now. You just move and then suddenly it all rolls. It's the most, and you feel your actual flesh bursting over the top. Basically.
And then you have to reach inside your trousers and grab the knickers and pull them up and tuck your stomach back in.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh.
So, you know when you buy pants?
Yes.
You probably buy them from someone at somewhere quite fancy.
No,
you,
I get them from Marks, of
course. Oh, do you? Like everybody else. Okay.
Yeah. Three for
so
five
do you buy,
or
do you
five
go
for three.
Full brief? Are you do you go the full brief or do you go midi or mini? Or where are you on that range normally?
On that scale, I'm full brief. Yep. I'm definitely a full brief. What I don't like is the kind of, there's a style which like a boxer short for women.
Oh,
shorts
yes.
For,
I know what you
understand
mean.
That. I don't want that.
Well, no, because then it's, I don't think it encourages the knicker roll exactly. But there's something that happens around your buttocks, which is a kind of similar thing.
Oh.
I think they don't sort of catch your buttocks quite the, you know, quite well enough.
Yeah. What we want are proper, what they call apple carriers. You know, so, because the apple of each buttock has got to be securely held.
Indeed.
As if, you know, as if there is a hand holding each buttock gently. Now, the other thing I have, and I get them from Amazon, I don't know whether this is going to be useful for anybody. I hope it is. They're about £7 a pair, which is quite pricey, but it means that you can wear a summer dress without thigh chafing. And they're a long line panty.
Oh,
do you know of what I
speak? Stop the talking up. I do, because I know, yes, well, we've spoken about this before, but the sweaty, what do you call that area between your
legs. What's it called?
Your thighs. It's the top of your thighs that get a bit sweaty and they chafe and they stick together. Yes. And then if you're wearing a dress, you have to sort of bandy your thighs so they don't touch and have get that friction rub. So you start walking in a funny rolling kind of way to try and stop your thighs touching. So I've got these long line knickers and they're quite attractive.
You have got them. Yeah, but wait a minute, aren't they really hot?
No, because they're not a spandex. They're not like a cycling short or anything like that. They're actually made out of a just normal knicker material.
Oh, nice.
So they're not extra sweaty or anything like that. They're just long line and they come mid-thigh and they've got a nice lacy effect, edging a border of lace all the way around. They're an attractive.
Very nice. And they don't ride up. Are you sure they don't ride up?
They don't ride. They don't ride at all.
Very nice. Very nice.
They're super. That's what
What are they called? What do I... So I just put long line knickers for summer wear
long
or
line
something,
pants.
Do I?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me, have you had the... Have you got the dye... Because last time we spoke, you were going to dye a load of crappy underwear from the underwear drawer.
It's not been done yet, Judith. It hasn't been done yet.
Okay.
All I can say is the dye has arrived. I've got a pink. So I'm chucking... I might do that this afternoon.
I need to hear all about these. What sort of pink have you got to dye everything in?
Well, when you look them up, I go for Dylon. It's the make that I'm most familiar with.
Yes.
I mean, other people might use some.
Yes.
Other dyes are available.
Indeed.
We don't mind. If there's a dye company that wants to sponsor our podcast, we're really up for it. Okay.
Or indeed send us some dyes. We could go mad, couldn't we? We'd go fucking mad everywhere. Right.
I've gone for a mid-pink. It's just a sort of, it's not the shocking pink. It's not a fuchsia. It's a peony pink, I'm hoping.
Very nice.
And I've just got these old linen trousers and all my bras and pants. Anyway, Judith, that's this afternoon for me. That's probably I'm probably going to get dying this afternoon. Now, what exciting things have been happening with you this week?
Well, quite a lot. We've had a sort of surprisingly busy week, really. But big excitement is that we've got the boat in the water, Jenny.
I've
got the boat in the water.
Yep. Beautiful photo on Instagram, Older and Wider podcast Instagram page. It's a great photo.
It's a good photo, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. So it's one of the few photos that I've seen of myself, which I quite like, actually.
Yeah, you look really thin.
That's why I liked it. Yes, it did. We finally got the sodding thing in the water.
Yeah.
After a lot of bloody palaver, because it's not easy moving boats around and getting them to the right bit of the river to get them in. But anyway, got it in. And
it looked like a beautiful day.
Oh, it was gorgeous yesterday. I mean, it was a bit patchy, you know, because obviously the weather's broken a bit, hasn't it? But yes, it coincided with a lovely bit of sunshine. And it was, you know, I mean, it was a bit nerve-wracking, really. Sort of, you know, might push me into the river and do something really spiteful. So, because to get the photo, I thought, well, I've got to try it out on my own, haven't I? I've never been. Yeah. Do you know, I've never been on the water in a boat, I don't think, on my own with a pair of oars, sort of ever, really. So so he pushed me out and took some photographs, and he said, you're going to have to... So obviously I said, whoa, hold on a minute, how am I going to get back? Whoa, shit, how do I get back? And he said, well, you'll be all right, but make sure you get back before the weir. And I'd completely fucking forgotten that there is actually... where we put the boat in, a weir. I mean, it's miles away, away. Probably, you know, like three football pitches away. But I thought, shit, what am I going to do?
Yeah, so that immediately. You're going over Niagara Falls in your little boat.
Yes, over Niagara. Over Niagara. Teetering on the edge, I was already. Absolutely.
Really, you know that it would actually take a good half an hour rowing to get you anywhere near. But in our brains, it's literally seconds away. Because we live on the precipice of disaster and catastrophe constantly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So did you go back for Mike so that he could save you?
Well, of course
from the
I
weir.
Did. But I mean, it worked actually because it gave me the adrenaline I needed, which was, you know, massive sort of, you know, frantic
jolt.
Kind of oaring to get back to him and throw him the rope and get on. And we did a little bit of a sail down the river, not a lot. But I tell you what was fantastic, Jenny.
Yeah.
Is we sort of went past the bottom of all these people's back gardens.
Oh, bless.
Yeah, it was like the kind of nautical equivalent of being on the top deck of a bus and looking into people's gardens.
Oh, great.
But it was
better some good ones?
There was you bet. And the nice thing is that, of course, you're very, it's like you're like this sort of stealth bomber.
you know, this torpedo, because you're obviously silent. And people aren't expecting something to come sailing by because it's not like it's a really busy part of the river. It's only tiny. And so you sail past and you've got plenty of time to really have a good look.
Thinking, drink it in. That's,
drink it in. Oh, I like that. You know, look at that. Nice.
Did you see any nice patio furniture? Yeah.
You know, really nice patio furniture
to sex.
We do. Yeah, there's a lot of that. And, but I tell you what, one of the gardeners had. They had this kind of outdoor area that didn't have a front on it. It was open at the front, right? And it had kind of, balustrades or something, for want of a better word. And then they got a sofa and a kind of wrap and cushions and bean bags, all looking towards the river. But it was like open, you know, it's like an open living room. Gorgeous.
That's your
really
thing, though,
that.
Judith. You mentioned the word open living room last week when you watched
White Lines.
But you said what you really enjoyed most about the programme, White Lines, was the open living rooms in Ibiza.
Yes, as opposed to the orgies. The incestuous sex. And then somebody else had built this tree house, but like on stilts, so that you could climb up. It's like a kid's paradise. You could climb up it and you could see down on the river and down the river right for a stretch. Oh, my God. That was, the den to die for.
Yeah, but I don't think that you shouldn't let kids in that. It's wasted on kids.
Oh, absolutely.
I wouldn't let any kids in there. Be mine. And then I'd pull up the rope ladder. And I'd be there. It'd be mine. So what about news on the dog?
Well, as you know, last week I was a little bit worried about, whether it was with all the scams going on and the difficulties in lockdown and everything. I was actually starting to get, when I said I'd paid the deposit, but I hadn't seen a photo, I did start to get a little bit worried because I hadn't seen a photo.
We got a few emails, didn't we, as well, into our older and wider account about people saying you've got to be very careful.
And that's right, you've got to be extremely careful. And also I think a lot of people saying that why don't you adopt and that would be a whole load better. And I did look at adoption and there weren't many open and there weren't many dogs available, actually. I think they're being snapped up like masses of dogs in lockdown. Anyway, I got a photo of the dog and I think, she's a great breeder. She's in Kennel Club, and she's actually much less expensive than a lot of puppies at the moment, which I think are all very good signs. But now she's got on her website, because she is a proper breeder, she's got a little link to, their progress. And she sent me a first photograph of her.
Is it a she dog?
And she's got a little stripe of white. She's black, a black cocker spaniel. Yeah. And she's got a little stripe of white underneath her chin down her chest.
But you can breed her, can't you? Now you've got one. Now you've got a girl dog. You can send it out to work.
Well, that's what the girls are already saying. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But, one step at a time. But no, I think she's real and I am really starting to get excited now. I've wanted a dog for such a long time.
And have you started buying all its kit, all the bowls and baskets?
Well, I haven't started buying anything, but I tell you what, because it's years since I had a puppy. I mean, I think it must be 20 years. And, of course, it's a bit like... Well, it's a lot like, isn't it? Sort of expecting, and kind of getting out your nursery. And it's so many more things on the market than there were when we had Pip, and a lot more paraphernalia I can see that I'm going to have to buy, including trainer pads. Because now I think when you're puppy training, they have
Is it like an incontinence pad?
Well, yes, but I don't think you didn't put them on the dog, I don't think. I think
you just
them
leave
the
them somewhere in the kitchen and that's where if it's going to wee, it can wee there.
Yes, yes.
I might put some down for me. Yeah. Leave a trail around the house.
Absolutely. Interestingly, I Googled that and then instantly what came up on my screen were... human ones, because obviously the computer is thinking, no, she doesn't mean puppy pad, she means what she needs. Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited. I'm really, really excited. I have no idea what we're going to call her. And, it'd be nice to get some ideas, really, from the gang. Love some ideas.
Well, I shall knit it a blanket for its basket.
Because
I am the doggy's auntie, obviously. I have to say, I've got a new nephew, a new doggy nephew, before your one, because my brother's dog arrived.
Cheese has arrived.
Well, it's actually called Enzo Cheese. It's called Enzo Cheese Chalamet Styles. Enzo Cheese Chalamet Styles. And that is because I've got a 19-year-old niece who's a bit of a fan of Timothy Chalamet and Harry Styles. So she's insisting that Chalamet and Styles get in there.
Oh, and it is.
I've put a picture up. I've nicked a picture off their Instagram and put it on our Instagram. So, because I know our lot like doggies. And it is a pretty, it's a whippet. That's what it is.
Oh, how lovely.
And I saw another photo on our Instagram of you cutting Mike's hair. He looked absolutely petrified.
Yes, he did, didn't he? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, I think I put the picture. It's become our notice board, hasn't it? It's become the gang notice board, actually, Instagram.
Scrapbook.
And yeah, it has. I think I put up that he looked like he was shitting himself, or he might shit himself, and somebody immediately replied saying, I think he already has, because he does look absolutely terrified. Yes, he really did. He was doing that thing that you do when somebody's cutting your hair, of kind of looking, you know, fixing what I was doing with my hands, whilst looking really, really frightened. I didn't do too badly. I think it's a bit lopsided, but I haven't told him that. I think it is a little bit lopsided.
Yeah, he can always have his head on one side, you know, even it out.
Jaunty. At a jaunty angle.
Jaunty angle. Just nod your head a bit and you'll look all right. It's fine. But you didn't stop at the hair, did you? Didn't stop at the hair on his head.
No. Well, what happened is that he, I've done this once or twice, but I have to say I went further than I've done before. But on his electric razor, he's got this thing that flips out for kind of doing the shoulder hair. You know, because has Jeff got shoulder hair?
No, hasn't he? Not really, no.
Where does his hair stop then?
Well, it's very grey. He's got it sort of goes, it's on his chest and it sort of spreads up towards the shoulders. And there's a little, maybe if you wisped on his shoulder, not really, not enough.
Right,
no,
right.
Not
right.
enough for me to get the clippers out. Did you do his shoulders?
Oh, I did, yeah. I did his shoulders. And I mean, it really, it's right down to sort of like midway. You know where your T-shirt would come up? You know, it's a short sleeve T-shirt. Comes right down to there, or it did do. Yeah, yeah. Well, really, I had a good old mow all the way around there. All the way up, both shoulders, around the back. And I did a sort of clippy thing around the hairline at the back. Really, really enjoyed it.
Honestly,
really enjoyed it.
For a moment, I thought, well, gosh, she's going to have to open a salon specialising in the weird shit, you know, call it Judas Gruesome Grooming. But I've just realised, you know, you're getting this girl dog. You can get that breeding. And then you can do a doggy parlour.
Oh, I could have a doggy parlour. Absolutely.
Yes. We've got all kinds of sort of part-time jobs lined up for you. You're going to open your beer garden. And then while they have a pint, you can do some grooming on their dogs.
Yeah, and I can do some art lessons in the studio. I mean, let's face it, nobody's going to commission me to write anything ever again. So
don't be
ridiculous.
Just
as bloody well, isn't it?
Now, stop it. We'll have another show out in a couple of years' time, but the theatres need to open first.
They certainly do. Now, listen, I want to ask you something that I haven't asked you for ages, which is, how is your mum? You must be desperate to see her.
This week was very hard. When it came to all that, actually, I did have a big cry, because she got really upset last week because her fridge freezer, it's one unit fridge freezer, top half is a fridge, bottom half is a freezer. And she'd obviously left the fridge door open and it had iced over. But it had done it within like a day. She had 6 inches of ice at the back of her fridge. God. And she was trying to laugh about it. She said, oh, it's funny, really, because there's a jar of jam suspended in the ice. It looks like it's hovering. It looks like the fridge is haunted by a jar of jam. I've taken everything else out, but I can't get the jar of jam out because it's stuck in this wall of ice.
That's a bloody lot of ice. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she's doing things like trying to her crappy old hairdryer on it. And, of course, you know, that's just, you just think, hold on. I've got a very elderly woman, not very steady on her feet, with an electric hairdryer and a fridge full of ice. This could, actually,
you're
bang!
Right. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was, and, you know, she was putting bowls of water in and it was still, and then trying to attack it with a knife. And you just thought, this is just, you know, it's got hospital all over it, hasn't it?
Yep.
Absolutely. So anyway, fortunately, in the end, she phoned her cleaners, who came back. And these women, there's two of them, and they've come every Monday to shop and clean for her. And they have saved the day on so many occasions now. It's embarrassing. And we're sort of 250 miles away, feeling shit and useless. And the thing is, because I wrote an article about this, or some of the article was about this, for the Independent. And I am allowed to go and see my mother. There are no restrictions on how far you go to visit somebody, but I'm not allowed to stay overnight. So I have this dilemma. And, you know, the trouble is, if you put anything like this on Twitter or social media, everyone tells you what to do, and it doesn't really help because, you know, I do feel a bit stuck. I have two options. One is to brave public transport and to take two trains.
Oh, my God, Jim, you wouldn't do that.
Well, I don't, sure you know... That. You know, but if I did trains, then I could go there and back in the day in a day, and I wouldn't have to go in her house. I'd obviously have to wee in the bushes, but you know, but if somebody, I don't drive on motorways, and I know it's one of the most pathetic things about me, but there aren't many things that I'm really wet about.
No,
but one of my greatest weaknesses is I cannot drive on a motorway. I've never driven on a motorway. I have a huge motorway phobia. I picture myself crashing all the time. I cannot.
Can I just say here, for on behalf of the nation, but I do feel that it would be a good idea to not take it up. I think
you know my limits, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, and it's not a silly thing. I'm not being babyish. I've done many quite brave things in my life. I can't do motorways. So I have to rely on someone taking me. Now, Jeff's 71. You know, can I really ask him? He's offered, but I've my mother thinks it's a bloody silly idea. And she says, well, you know, I don't want you to come if it means that. It's ridiculous. You know, he'd have to drive me there and back. It could be a 12-hour return trip.
Yeah, it's a long way to go there.
It's a long
day,
way,
isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. It is.
So I'm waiting until they say you can stay the night.
Yep.
And then I'm going to sort of, you know, my sister will take me and we'll go together. And,
yeah.
And we'll all end up fighting and it'll be an absolute disaster. My mother will throw us out and go, oh, God, it was better
but
without
it sounds,
you.
But it sounds like your mother's keeping her shit together, is she? I mean, she's...
Oh, yeah.
She's,
I cried on the phone to her, she said, oh, and I went, hey, I'm going to see you. And she said, well, if you're going to be like that, I don't want you to come.
Oh, bless her. God, right thing to say. Ugh. Right thing to say. Yeah, pull yourself together. It'll happen soon.
Anyway, yeah. I just want to report before we go into our culture roundup that I made my very first frittata this week.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Very nice. Now, remind me what's in a frittata. I'm never sure.
No, Judith, not much is in a frittata. Just a load of leftovers. It's one of those things that's useful. If you've got, you know, you overboil potatoes. Every time you make boiled potatoes, little baby new potatoes, you do too many. Yes, there's always three or four knocking around the next day.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple of old new, couple of boiled potatoes, handful of peas, a bit of spring onion, maybe. I've had a glut of asparagus. Mm. Never sure whether I really like asparagus or not.
So why isn't it an omelette? Why isn't it just called an omelette then? Why is it called a frittata?
Mine was an oven baked frittata for starters, but that's beside the point. That's just because, you know, I bought that pie tin that you made me buy for making apple pie.
I
thought I can't just sit there. You've got to use it.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, you grease that up a bit. You chuck in this handful of leftover veg. Three eggs on top, whisked with a load of Parmesan cheese or other cheeses, you know, depends. Yep. Use a recipe, don't trust me. And then you bung it in the oven for about 20 minutes.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. So it's like a baked omelette then, really, with leftovers, isn't it?
But it's quite high. What you're really wanting is something that you can cut into a slice.
Well, that sounds very good. I'm very impressed.
That wasn't very nice, really, to be quite
honest. With asparagus, because there's a lot of asparagus around at the moment, and around here there are quite a few places that you can get where it's, you know, they've kind of grown it themselves. And I love asparagus, but I roll it in Parma ham. So you get like a cluster of two or three and just roll it in a bit of Parma ham and then sprinkle it with Parmesan and put it in the oven. I think that's a much better way of doing it than having it dripping with butter. There you go.
Well, I don't like butter, so I never have it with butter. I just put it in stir fries and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
Or I might make some soup. I don't know.
Oh, a nice bit of asparagus. You can't go wrong with asparagus soup. You'd be stinking when you go for the wee, but they're very nice.
Absolutely. Right, now, it's time for the culture roundup. Have you finished I Captured the Castle?
I finished I Captured the Castle. Very much enjoyed it. It was a very, very, very good steer. I really liked it.
I just think that why has this never been... why did she never write a sequel? That's what really puzzled me, because it was really crying out for 5 years later, or yes, even, you know, the war years, what happened. A bit like, you know, the Cazalettes, where it went through. Anyway, I have not finished my books because they're two big ones. I'm still on the Beatles one by Craig Brown, and Hamnet by Maggie O'Farrell, which, again, I can only take in tiny mouthfuls, because there's the writing about a child being ill is just, I have to keep turning it off because I can't bear it. Telly-wise, Judith, what's caught your eye?
We started Mad Men from the beginning, which I don't know why. We didn't really sort of get into it at the time. So we've done that. Very, very good, obviously. All the gang will have already watched it, won't they? But just fantastic, fantastic.
Well, do you know what? I didn't take to it because I didn't go in at the beginning. And I think that if you're going to do these big box sets, you've got to sort of put time and energy in and go right at the beginning and concentrate. Oh,
yes. Yes, you have. So, concentrate, that being the operative word. Yes, I couldn't agree more.
Because we're on The Sopranos, which we've done properly, you know, from the beginning. We've just finished series one, and it's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life. So we're going to binge. Yeah, I think it's phenomenal.
What's it about, actually?
Well, it's about a mafia family. One of the mafia family, one of the commandos, one of the capos, you know, is seeing a psychiatrist. So he goes to see a psychiatrist, and via his chats with a psychiatrist, you see how his life is being panned out, you know, his family. And it's basically how you can be in the mob, but, you know, it's all very domestic at the same time. It's beautifully done. And James Gandolfini playing Tony Soprano is just... it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime roles that comes up for actors that you just sort of fit like a second skin. And it's just gorgeous. Now, the other thing we have enjoyed, and I don't think you'd like it, but I do want you to have a look at it, because you've got to set me some homework. I'm going to set you some homework, and I reckon you'll last 10 minutes, but I do want you to give it 10 minutes. And it's on Netflix, and it's a it's on Netflix, and it's a series called Skin Wars. Oh. And it's body painting. It's competitive body painting. And I cannot recommend it more highly.
Wait a minute. Is this body... This is not tattooing. This is not permanent.
No, it's not tattooing. Okay. It's airbrushing and painting. And they do things like camouflage art. So you have a naked girl. I mean, she's got pants and pasties on over her tits. But she's lying on a vegetable display, and you can't see her because their skills are. I mean, it's worth watching, because, you know, the very early episodes, there are some people that aren't that brilliant, but as it goes further on in the series, you know, you're left with the really shit hot body painters, and I just found it fascinating. But there you go. That's our book and telly roundup of the week. Quick look at emails, Judith.
Well, yes, there's been a little bit of telling off, really. Leslie, head girl, that's her. That was a self-appointed title that she's given herself, and I can see why. And she's quite right, because she said, last week we were talking about how we couldn't, you know, we'd find it difficult to live without Mike and Jeff, respectively. Yeah. And that
because they do
horses.
All the boring jobs.
Well, yeah, they do all the shit pile, you know, they do the kind of paying the bills and all that shit. You know, renewing. I saw what Mike's been doing. Yes, they've been renewing, you know, insurance, house insurance. But I can't tell you how much I hate to do that.
Yeah.
I hate it. I'd be bad at it. I'd just accept the first one. I'd be shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think Leslie, brackets head girl, got the impression that we were, well, I know, got knocked down. I mean, she's saying sort of man up, really. For goodness sake, if you were on your own, like I have been for a few years, you'd be fine, you know, stop whinging. And
she accused us of being wusses.
She did, didn't she?
Yeah. You also got told off about the boiler man. And I wanted to come to your... defense at this point, because the only reason why you didn't let the boiler man use the loo was COVID. No other reason.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've never refused anyone using the loo in the house ever, nor would I even begin to think of doing that. Yeah. But no, I mean, it was against the rules. And as he asked, I was thinking, oh God, poor man. But actually, you know, like the girls have been in the garden and they've never been to the loo and sort of like, no, I don't think I can really. Yeah.
I know that, because if you were toilet fussy, you wouldn't let me go in the house, not even in peacetime.
That is very true. That is very, very true.
Anyway, Dead Mouse story.
Yeah. So this was because we talked about, I think I talked about somebody as a student finding a dead mouse in the toaster and nobody could ever work out what the smell was. So this lady, she hasn't told us her name. She wants to remain anonymous and it will be apparent why. So hi, Judith and Jenny. Do so enjoy the podcast and thought you might like the following. In the long ago 80s, know what she means, when I was young and had the energy to read classics, can't be arsed with it now, I'm older, we get that, I was reading Thérèse Raquin by Émile Zola, get her, and found my life absurdly echoing that of the unfortunate heroine. She writes well, doesn't she, this lady? The novel is about a young married woman who embarks on an affair. She and her lover murder the poor husband and appear to have got away with it, except when they have sex, an odour of rotting corpse materialises.
Odour.
Yeah, from nowhere. It gets worse and worse until, well, it all ends in misery and death. There's Zola for you.
Oh, can I take over now?
Please do,
At that time, I had a long-distance steady boyfriend who I didn't see all that often. And it happened that I met someone local and found myself embarked on a steamy affair. But not locking into this relationship, I noticed a faint whiff of putrefaction whenever we had sex at my place. It hung in the bedroom. Nay, it seemed to come from the bed itself. Day two, it was worse. I checked under the bed, shook out the bedclothes, took out the pillow. Nothing. Put it back in case. Day or night, should I say. Night three, still worse. A distinct smell, a putrefaction wherever I laid my head on the pillow. Thérèse Raquin wasn't doing too well either by this time. The novel, our heroine felt like she was making love to the rotting corpse of her husband every time she tried to have sex with her lover. And I was beginning to know how she felt. In desperation, I stripped the bed completely, and as I shook out the pillow for the second time, a dead mouse tumbled out from the pillowcase in a fold, neatly flattened, semi-mummified, and all too obviously a trophy placed there by my cat. I remember the cat was an excellent mouser, but was she perhaps trying to see off my lover or compete for my affection with the beautiful gift? Anyway, happy to say I soon tidied up my love life and everything turned out better for me than poor old Thérèse.
Good. Well, we're pleased about that. What a brilliant bloody story. Not only a great story, it's great yarn, but I love, you know...
There's poetry in it.
And symbolism, metaphor, aplenty. We like it.
I might nick it and put it in a book.
That's good.
And that's made me actually want to read some Émile Zola. I've never read any before. Talking of... stories and that sort of thing, just in case anybody's interested, Little Lifetimes Are Now. The first one is, it's performed by Pauline McGlynn and you'll find it on BBC Sounds.
Lovely. I think the gang will enjoy that. Okay, great. Do keep sending us some emails. We love to hear from you, as long as you're not telling us off. But I suppose that comes with the territory.
I think they're like-minded women, Judith. I think
they are.
Yes.
And it is olderwiderpod@gmail.com. So do send, so, and keep listening and, you know, and posting things on the Instagram notice board and look after yourselves, really.
Yes. I second that. I'm exhausted now, Judith. I didn't have a Diet Coke for this programme and I'm going to have to go and lie down for a bit. You can lick some chocolate.
Yes, I am.
And I shall speak to you next week and I'll look forward to more doggy news, boat news, anything news, whatever you've got up your sleeve. Love you and leave you. Thank you, Daisy. Thank you, everybody. And we shall speak again very soon.
Yeah. Bye, Jenny. Nice to talk to you.
Bye, gang.
Hello gang, Judith here. Just a footnote to say that since we recorded the podcast, we think that the lockdown rules have slightly relaxed and that we're allowed to go and stay with somebody that needs some support. And so, really just to say that I think Jenny might be allowed to go and see her mum in the not too distant future, just in case you all get anxious and very kind in telling us that actually we can go. But yeah, there we are. Okay, bye.